Good morning. Let's stand for the call to worship. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from his heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars of light. Praise him, you heavens of heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all the depths. Fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars. Beast and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maiden, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name also alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heavens, and he has exalted the born of his people. The praise of all his saints, of the children of Israel, a people near to him. Praise the Lord. everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Thank you. You may be seated. Reading from Galatians 3, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Let us pray. Almighty and merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended your holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done. And we have done those things which we ought not to have done. And there is no health in us. But you, O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Spare those, O God, who confess their faults. Restore those who are penitent, according to your promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. The Gospel from Galatians chapter 2. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Let us pray. Our Father in God, we do praise you and thank you that because of the work of Jesus Christ at the cross, we have access to your throne of grace. We thank you that he did bear our sin, that you poured out your wrath upon him because he had our sin. And we thank you, Father, that we have his righteousness, that we are clothed in his righteousness, and therefore we are free to come into your presence, and you welcome us, and that we are to bring our prayers and petitions and make our requests known unto you. And we ask, Lord, that when we come, that we would come with hearts of praise and thanks, knowing that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We thank you, Father, for the privilege that you give to us to bear one another's burdens and therefore fulfill the law of Christ. We ask, Lord, that we would take seriously our role as intercessors, that we would offer up the sacrifice of praise, the sacrifice of service, the sacrifice of a broken body, that we would offer up the sacrifice of our material goods, and that we would be those who would pray for all men, especially for those in authority. We think of those in authority even now, Father. We know that there are many who are wicked in high places, and you tell us that we do not war against things that are visible, but we war against principalities and powers. And we know that the world system is under the influence of the evil one. So we ask that you would be with those in authority, that there would be your people drawing alongside them, speaking the gospel into their ear, speaking so that they would understand that they will answer to a higher authority. We know that every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that you are Lord. So we ask that those in authority would be bending the knee even now, and that your people would speak so that the truth in love, and that they would give grace to the hearer. And Father, we ask that we ourselves, as we live our lives here in Whatcom County, that we would be your faithful servants, that we would remember that we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ, and that we are to be a fragrance of the one who loved us and died for us. And we ask, Lord, that you would be with our brothers and sisters throughout the world. We especially ask for those who are in the various war zones across the world. We ask that in that trauma of war, Father, that they would be ministers of your mercy and grace, that they would speak to others of the life that they may have for eternity. We know, Father, that all of us will stand before you, that all of us will one day depart this life, and that when we depart, we will go to eternity with you or eternity without. And we ask that we would be those who would declare that truth to those that we know and to those that we interact with. We thank you for your mercies that are new every day. We thank you for the food that we have. We thank you for the raiment that we have, the homes that we live in. And we thank you for your daily provision. And we acknowledge, Father, that there are those across the world who do not have all that we have. So we ask that you might draw them to yourself, and that, again, they would understand that what we have now is nothing compared to what you have for us in eternity. We thank you for this day in which you've given us to serve you. We ask that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart would be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Let's stand to sing. Thank you. You may be seated. During the year of 2022, I was doing a series in the Gospel of John. And last Sunday of November of 2022 came. We finished John chapter 10, and we haven't finished John. So I'm picking up where we left off, John chapter 11, and it's a continuation of that 2022 series. So we're in John 11. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and you are going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he has the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. These things he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking a rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Then Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Father, we thank you for your word, and we ask that you may illumine our minds by the light of your word, and take captive our hearts by the power of your love. In Christ's name, amen. Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. When they show up in the scriptures, they're usually being hospitable to Christ. Apparently, Bethany was a place, it's about 2 miles from Jerusalem, and it was a place where Jesus may have stayed when he was in Jerusalem, when he came for the various feasts. Bethany may have been the place where he stayed. Their familiarity is obvious in this passages. In Luke 10, Mary sat and listened to Jesus while Martha served, and Martha took issue with that, and Jesus said that Mary had chosen the better. And then in John chapter 12, which is the following chapter, Lazarus sat at table with Jesus, and Martha served, and Mary anointed. And here in John 11, the author makes mention of this when he says that it was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. He's able to write that at this place because he wrote the book after Jesus Christ was ascended into heaven, and all of these events had already taken place. So he's able to identify in chapter 11 the woman who anointed Jesus in chapter 12. And the chapter 12 is also mentioned in Mark 14, 3 through 9, and Matthew 26, 6 through 13, where Jesus is seated at the table and a woman comes in and anoints him, and that is Mary. Mary and Martha and Lazarus are loved by Christ. Now, this is not the same love that I enjoy from Christ. I don't know Christ as a man walking on the earth. I know Christ as my risen Savior who is in his body seated at the right hand of the Lord, of the Father. So this is different. And we also read in the gospel that there is a disciple whom Jesus loved. This is a distinction between the deity and the humanity of Christ. In the church, this is the way it would work. Husbands love their wives, and they love their children. Husbands are to love everybody in the congregation. Husbands, I hope you don't love everybody in the congregation the way you love your wife. There's two different realms here. One realm is spiritual, and one realm is the physical. So when Jesus is said to love Martha, Lazarus, and Mary, and the disciple whom he loved, it is within the human realm. It is just like me loving my family and loving you. I don't love you the way I love my family, and certainly you don't love me the way you love your family. We need to understand that Jesus had a circle of friends, and he had inner friends in the disciples. Peter, James, and John were the inner circle of three. So we see that throughout the New Testament, we have evidence of the humanity of Christ and his deity. And this relationship between Jesus and Mary, Martha, and Lazarus is evidence of a human relationship. So it's interesting that when Martha sends the information to Jesus that Lazarus is sick, it's not a request for him to come. It is an announcement. Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. Now, I would suggest to you that there's expectation behind that announcement. Okay, Mary and Martha and Lazarus are well acquainted with Jesus. They know all about his miracles, how he healed the sick, the lame, how he tossed out demons. And they probably knew about him raising from the dead Jairus' daughter, who had recently died, and the widow of Nain's son, who was on his way to the graveyard. So they probably had all that information. But there's a distinction between what we have here in John chapter 11 and the other accounts of raising the dead. Lazarus, when Jesus finally gets there, has been dead 4 days. The widow Nain's son was on his way to the graveyard, so it was within 24 hours. Jairus' daughter had just died. That's why it's significant for us to know that Lazarus was dead 4 days. He had already begun to decompose. decomposition begins immediately, but is radical at 72 hours. And that's why Jesus stays 2 days. When Jesus heard this, he says, "The sickness is not unto death." Jesus had a plan. And the plan that he had was that God would be glorified and the Son of God would also be glorified through it. And he stays 2 more days. Martha and Mary, when they send the request, it's not a request, it's an announcement, "Lord, behold, the one you love is sick." They had an understanding, and their understanding was presumptive. We assume Jesus will come and do what he has done in the past. He will heal. I've noticed in my years of ministry that when people get sick, the people always pray to the Lord that they would be healed. And I always wonder, what is the motive? Some people pray, "Lord, we would like healing, thy will be done." That would be correct. But just to say, "I want healing," is not understanding the purposes of God. You may recall in John chapter 9, verse 1, there is a blind man. And the disciples say, "Who sinned, this man or his parents?" Those disciples were expressing something that, again, is presumptive. They made the assumption that the man was born blind because the parents sinned or he sinned. And this blindness was punitive. No, Jesus explained that this man was born blind for the glory of God. For the glory of God. And chapter 9 is where Jesus Christ says, "I am the light of the world." And he demonstrates that he is the light of the world by giving sight to the blind man. God always is at work. And he's always at work positively in your life, the church's life, and for his glory. Always. And the traumas that we run into, be they physical traumas, financial problems, or whatever, relationship between parent and child, or husband and wife, whatever these traumas are, ultimately are for the glory of God and for the church's edification. And we see this. If you think about this particular event, there's a lot of drama here. Okay? Jesus is very understated. There's no bells and whistles. He just is calm and says these things. And he identified this illness as not unto death. Now, if you know the rest of the chapter, you might ask, and how can he say that? Doesn't Lazarus die? The purpose of this illness was to glorify the Father and to glorify the Son. That's why this illness. This is the last miracle. John calls him sign. If you remember in John chapter 20, John writes, he says, "These things have been written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ and he's the Son of God." And there are 7 miracles that John pulls out and says, these 7 demonstrate his deity. And he says that they were written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ. This is the last one. Jesus is dealing with this sickness as not unto death. You also have to understand that this is probably within 10 days of his own crucifixion. This is shortly before he is crucified. And this illness is being used by Christ to exalt himself and the Father. John tells us that Jesus was in the place he stayed where he was. Where was he? When John 10, the last couple of verses, were told that he left Jerusalem and Judea and went to the place where John the Baptist had been baptizing, which was down near the Jordan River. And Jesus stayed there. It's about a day's walk from Bethany. And Jesus stays 2 more days. Jesus then says, let's go. Let's go back. The disciples understood that the last time they were in Jerusalem, they tried to kill Jesus. They tried to stone him. And Jesus left. And they're concerned. Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again? Throughout this chapter, there is a gross misunderstanding about who Jesus is. The disciples who have been with him for years, 2-3 years, they don't really know who Jesus is. Jesus has, during the course of his ministry, talked to them about his impending death. He has mentioned that he will be lifted up, that being lifted up is a euphemism for being crucified. When the Jews executed somebody, they would stone them. Usually what they would do, they had to be two accusers. And they would take the person to be executed to a cliff, and the first accuser would push him off the cliff, and the second accuser would throw the first stone. And then everybody else would throw stones. But Jesus was going to be lifted up. And he had told his disciples that I would be lifted up. And they misunderstood. They didn't understand. The question we need to ask ourselves as we look at this passage is, do we know who Christ is? You and I have not spent 3 years with him going up and down Palestine. You and I know him through his word. Do we really know him? Master, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again? There was another time that previous in the ministry where he was in Nazareth and they were going to make him king. And Jesus just left, got lost in the crowd. Everything that men wanted to do to Jesus that was not at the proper time was unfulfilled. Jesus was on an agenda, and he spoke of, my hour has not yet come. Well, when Lazarus is sick, and Martha and Mary announce this, that he is sick, his hour will be the next week. His hour is approaching. And Jesus answers with a parable. Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. Jesus had identified himself as the light of the world. Jesus, when he speaks this parable, is speaking of himself and those who are with him. If one walks, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, the disciples, when they walked with Christ, were walking in the day. He is the light of the world. He is the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. When you walk in the light of the world, when you walk with Christ, you will not stumble. Jesus is not only saying something about his disciples, but he's saying something about why he's going back to Jerusalem and Judea. Because when he goes back to Jerusalem and Judea, ultimately the hour of darkness will come. The hour of darkness is that time when Jesus is taken to trial and crucified. That is the hour of darkness. And even the disciples stumbled. You know, they all ran away. All those who crucified Christ stumbled. They knew not who he was. As Peter says in Acts, you with wicked hands crucified the Lord of glory. So Jesus continues and his disciples, and he says, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go to wake him up. Is that the way you look at death? One of the churches that I attended for a while, but the pastor said that some of his parishioners, when they were going to be buried, wanted to be buried in their pajamas. They wanted to be buried in their pajamas because they wanted those who attended the funeral to know that they slept. They were going to be awakened by the Lord of glory. Here Jesus says, Lazarus sleeps. He sleeps. I go to wake him up. Once again, the disciples misunderstand. The disciples are good at misunderstanding. Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. No, when they said that, Lazarus was probably in the tomb. Remember, Christ waited two more days. And when he gets there at the gravesite, he's been in the grave 4 days. So he's not sleeping to get well. As Jesus says, Lazarus is dead. Lazarus is dead. Imagine being one of those disciples. Our problem sometimes when we come to a narrative in the scriptures is that we know the narrative so well that we miss some of the things that we ought not to miss. Put yourself in the shoes of a disciple at this point. You've been with Jesus for 2-3 years. and you've observed him do all of these miracles. When Lazarus is sick, wouldn't you, as a disciple, having observed all that you've observed, think that Jesus would heal Lazarus? After all, we have the narrative where Jesus healed the sick person. Remember the man who came, the centurion? He had a sick child. And he said to Jesus, "Don't come to my house. You know, just heal him." And Jesus didn't go to the house. He healed him. So they knew, they had seen that Jesus could heal without being there. Martha and Mary may have thought that too. The Lord, behold, the one whom you love is sick. We have seen you heal somebody when you're over here and the sick person is there. We've seen that. We wait 2 days, and then we go, well, let's go back to Jerusalem and Judea. Oh, by the way, Lazarus is sleeping. You're a disciple. You're standing there. You're listening. What do you hear? Do we really know this Christ that is being revealed? But once again, these disciples, they were with Jesus. They'd seen all of these miracles. They'd seen them. And they still didn't know who he was. And then when Jesus says Lazarus is dead, he has a very strange thing to say. I'm glad for your sakes. I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. This last miracle is a miracle that is beyond anyone's expectation. Martha and Mary expected Jesus to heal Lazarus. When we pray and we ask for healing, we ask for healing. We expect healing. Jesus, his expectation was that this miracle would produce faith. That was his expectation. I'm glad I wasn't there for your sake, that you may believe. Do you understand the events in your life are for that very same purpose? That you may believe. God is at work in you, and he's conforming you to the image of his Son. Now, there was one in the mix who didn't believe, the son of perdition, Judas of Iscariot. He's one of those in attendance, he's one of those who's observed. And he is the one who sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Judas never did learn who Jesus was. Never. Were the others? They did. It was a process. And here Jesus says, I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Now, nevertheless, let's go to him. What was Jesus going to do? Well, first thing he was going to do, he was going to wake Lazarus. He was going to wake him. The second thing that he was going to do, he's returning to Jerusalem and Judea for his own crucifixion. He was returning there for his last week of ministry. And the Gospel of John is built in such a way that from this chapter on, it has to do with the last week of Jesus' ministry, crucifixion and resurrection. Half the book is taken up with Jesus' last week and crucifixion. Jesus is returning to Judea and Jerusalem because the day of darkness is coming. And he is going to prepare for it. There's two reasons for him to go back: waking Lazarus and his last week of ministry. Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Once again, here is the supposition by a disciple that Christ is going to be killed. And that we are who are disciples will die with him. We know from later on in the text that when the time came, when Christ was indeed crucified, all the disciples ran. You see, it's always easier to say than it is to do. Always. You can remember this. Remember when Jesus had the paralytic in front of him and he asked those around him, which is easier to say, rise up and walk, or your sins are forgiven you? You see how easy that came out of my mouth? Real easy. I don't have the power to do either one. But it's easy to say. And here Thomas is saying, let us go, that we may die with him. How well do you know Christ? How well do you understand what this life is all about? How well do you comprehend that this life is preparing you for glory? This is preparation. As Peter says about persecution, it's a fire that brings you out like gold. What about illness? What about illness? It's for the glory of God. It's for the glory of God. That's the purpose. It's for your benefit, it's for the church's benefit, and it's for the glory of God. We all have our expectations. How well do you know Christ? How well do you understand that you are being used of God for His glory, His honor, and your edification? Remember, it's a lot easier to say, just like Thomas, let's go die with him. Where's Thomas at the cross? Gone. Just gone. Let's pray. Our Father and God, we do thank you and praise you for the work that you're doing in us. And we confess, Father, that so often we have expectations of you that we ought not. And so often when we see your hand of mercy and grace, we don't comprehend it as mercy and grace. We know, Father, that you are busy working in us. We are your workmanship. And we've been created in the image of Christ. So we ask, Lord, as we meditate upon this and the confusion in the mind of the disciples, the expectation of Martha and Mary, and we know, Father, we are familiar with this chapter, but what Christ reveals later is so much more than any of us could have expected. So much more than we could have imagined. We praise you and thank you for the record that Jesus Christ had the interest of the disciples, the interest of Martha and Mary in view, and therefore he delayed and he was not there. We thank you and praise you, Father, that you have our interest in view, that you are interested in molding us and shaping us. You want us to be your faithful servants. You want us to be those who glorify you in all that we do and say. You want us to be your faithful ambassadors. We thank you that you are patient with us. We thank you that you work will be come to fruition, and one day we'll stand before you and we'll see Jesus as he is. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand to sing. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.